Do you know the Prince of Peace today? Not do you know about him. Do you know him? Matter of fact, you don't even have to answer the question, because the life you and I live will answer the question for us. That if you and I truly know the Prince of Peace today, our lives will embody, will resemble, will be patterned after the great Jesus Christ who gave his life.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
And I want to welcome you back to the conclusion of the message entitled, The Only Peace. As we've examined this text over the last several weeks, we understand that peace is something that only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. But yet this peace produces fruit in our lives. As the text shows us, there should be unity. There should be a thankfulness, a gratefulness of heart. Because when the tranquil state of the soul that's anchored to Christ gives us that peace that only comes from him, therefore the fruit that we bear gives great resemblance to who Christ is. And so I pray today that you take your Bible. Let's turn together to Colossians chapter 3, looking at verse 15, as we conclude the message entitled, The Only Peace.
Have you ever thought about this? That when you are truly thankful, you have peace. Think about this for just a moment. The times that you are truly thankful, you then have peace. Those are joyous times. Those are light-hearted times. Those are trusting times in the great God of the Bible, that even though the hurricane may be swirling around you, that a thankful heart then shows a heart and a life that's surrounded by peace and joy and contentment. And when you have this peace during those days, there's a thankfulness that just overwhelms and enraptures the soul. See, thankfulness and peace, they feed off each other. And they are byproducts of a heart that's truly surrendered, and a heart that's insistent that God is God and we are the servants, not the other way around. See, so many times we get the organizational chart in God's economy flipped upside down. And we think somehow he's the divine butler and the smiling servant that's supposed to, at our every beck and call, fulfill our hopes and dreams so that we can be all that we want to be versus to become all that he's created us to be in his Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord. You say, okay, I'm hearing about peace and I'm hearing about being called to one body in unity and I'm hearing about being thankful. And how do I get there, though? Maybe you're here today, you go, I'm hearing, and I'm sensing the Holy Spirit. How do I get there? The key is fairly simple, but it's brutal to the flesh. The key is to step back from ourselves. Don't look inward. But start looking outward so that those around you will start looking heavenward. Stop looking inward towards self and selfishness and me and myself and I and the selfie generation that says it's all about me. No, stop looking inward, but start looking outward. Become others focused. Become others driven. do all of this being saturated, of course, by being God-centered and Bible-driven and prayer-saturated. And therefore, when you start looking outward under that springboard and that platform of being God-centered and Bible-driven and prayer-saturated, something's going to happen in your life and people are going to see a difference in your life. And they're no longer going to be looking at you. They're going to start looking heavenward to find out who this great God of the Bible supposedly is that's changed your heart, not because you told them your heart was changed, but because they're seeing that your heart was changed. But yet, where there's contention, maybe in your home or your church or your family or your relationships, a great question is always to ask, what am I not getting that I desperately crave? I don't have peace today. I don't have thankfulness. I'm not one body. There's not unity. And so what am I not getting that I desperately crave? And then ask a second brutal question. Is what I am craving in defense of God's truth? Or in my quest to obtain what I crave in my flesh, am I unwittingly becoming a pawn in Satan's hand? And therefore, people are not being led towards Christ, but away from Christ. See, one of Satan's greatest lies is to deceive us, to live in rebellion. And we know this rebellion, this defiance then leads to denial. This denial that says, hey, nothing's really wrong, then leads to blame shifting. Oh, maybe there is something wrong, but it's not my fault. Man, this is because of how I was raised. This is what was done to me. I didn't make the soccer team in the second grade. And so, man, this is what I turned out to be. It was the coach's fault. And on we go in this blame-shifting culture as the author of confusion, Satan himself, rebels, he denies, and he blames. And he then puts this into every heart that he's the father of. See, sin doesn't create peace. Please understand this. If you're here today and you're looking for peace, you're looking for joy, you're looking for contentment, you're looking for a tranquil state of your soul, but yet you're a prideful person, you're not on the road to peace. You're looking for this peace and yet you're living in rebellion and defiance and you're living in denial and you're living in blame shifting, you are not on the road to peace. You're living in just deep sin and cohabitating with the world and God all at the same time. You are not on the road to peace. And by the way, I don't care how much Bible you know, how much Greek you can parse. When you rebel against the great God of the Bible, His word says this, that every heart that is prideful is an abomination to Him. That means it's disgusting to the great God of the Bible. And we therefore know this from His written word, that God opposes the proud. He resists. The great God of the Bible is in direct opposition to the ego-driven person. But He gives unmerited favor, charis, grace to the humble. Sin doesn't create peace. Don't buy that lie. It only brings further heartache, pain, shame, guilt, confusion, division, and bondage. When I think of someone who lived a life modeling humility but yet was tethered to Christ, I think of several people. But one that comes to mind today is this person, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The real indicator of having true peace and thankfulness is not what you or I ourselves say about us during the trials of life. But as we go through the difficulties of life where we're disappointed and we're frustrated, it's really what others say about us that show the great indicators of God's peace and joy and contentment in our lives as we go through the valleys. One person penned these words about Bonhoeffer, and I quote, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die." Dietrich Bonhoeffer was about 30 years old when he penned these words in his classic work, The Cost of Discipleship. 8 years later, he was executed for his crimes against the Third Reich there of Nazi Germany. The prison doctor who witnessed Bonhoeffer's execution wrote this, "In the almost 50 years that I have worked as a doctor, I have hardly ever seen a man die so entirely submissive to the will of God." Did you hear what was written? This was written not by a person about themselves, but this was written about a person by others who were bystanders and spectators, that they saw the life that was lived. And we got to understand this, that people are watching, that we may be professing Christ, but if our heart is egocentric, if our heart is driven by this lust of the flesh and the cravings of the heart and a selfishness, that we can be professing Christ all day long. But the reality is this, people are more interested not in what we say, but more how we live. And if what we say is one thing, and how we live is another, we are not leading people towards Christ. We're leading people away.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
And what a testimony today as we're thinking through this great verse and contemplating what Paul told us here as he said these words again in this verse, and let the peace of God rule, dominate, govern your hearts, to which you also were called. You were loudly invited. You were ushered in as one body, being unified, and be thankful, and have a heart where the posture of the heart is one of gratitude, one in which the posture of the heart is based on God and His glory and His goodness and His graciousness. But even in the midst of difficult days and perilous times, we can be a thankful people. And when people see that, they will look at us and say, oh, even if we're being executed for standing for Christ, they can give a testimony. They can be an eyewitness to the account to say, oh, I saw this person and I saw them die with peace in their heart as they were submissive to the great God of the Bible. Because we also hear a very stern warning from Scripture that in Romans 8:6, "For to be carnally, fleshly, worldly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Do you know the Prince of Peace today? Not do you know about him. Do you know him? Matter of fact, you don't even have to answer the question, because the life you and I live will answer the question for us. That if you and I truly know the Prince of Peace today, our lives will embody, will resemble, will be patterned after the great Jesus Christ who gave his life. And yet we could be one of those that verbally tries to defend who they are in Christ, and yet the life they're really living reveals and exposes who is really their Lord, and it's not Jesus. Oh, I think of the great hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." What a great hymn that is, that speaks into our hearts today, that those words that were written in that song, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." Oh God, that's our prayer today, that hearts around this room and hearts that are listening today would come to you in childlike faith, and they would come to the cross today and die. They would crawl to that cross and throw all their baggage at the foot of the cross and say, "Oh God, I'm prone to wander. I'm prone to leave you. Prone to leave the God I love. But God, right now, take my heart. Take it and seal it for thy courts above." I love what Spurgeon wrote, but was updated by Alistair Begg. This, I pray, will encourage your heart as maybe you're one in the battle today. Maybe you're one in the battle and there's great difficulty and suffering for what you're enduring on behalf of the gospel, and maybe your name's being slandered. Maybe you're being lied about. Maybe you're being persecuted and reviled for the namesake of Christ. And we know that blessed are those who have those things poured upon them, for it's an honor to be persecuted for the name of Jesus. This is what Spurgeon wrote, as again was updated by Alistair Begg. "The Christian will be sure to make enemies. It will be one of his objects to make none. But if doing what is right and believing what is true should cause him to lose every earthly friend, he will regard it as a small loss, since his great friend, capital F, in heaven will be even more friendly and will reveal himself to him more graciously than ever. You who have taken up his cross, don't you know what your master said? I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Christ is the great peacemaker, but before peace, he brings war. Where the light comes, the darkness must vanish. Where truth is, the lie must flee. Or if it remains, there must be a stern conflict, for the truth cannot and will not lower its standard, and the lie must be trampled underfoot. If you follow Christ, you will have all the dogs of the world yelping at your heels. If you live in such a manner as to stand the test of the last judgment, you can depend upon it that the world will not speak well of you. He who has the friendship of the world is an enemy of God. But if you are true and faithful to the Most High, men will resent your uncompromising commitment, since it is a testimony against their own iniquities. You must do the right thing and not fear the consequences. You will need the courage of a lion to pursue a course that turns your best friend into your fiercest foe. But for the love of Jesus, you must take your stand. To risk reputation and affection for the truth's sake is so demanding that to do it constantly, you will need a degree of moral principle that only the Spirit of God can work in you. Do not turn your back like a coward, but play the man. Follow boldly in your master's steps, for he has made this rough journey before you. Better a brief warfare and eternal rest than false peace and everlasting torment. Oh, this is a word for us today, that for you who are willing to stand tall under the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will take bullets. And again, it won't per se be from the outside. It will be from the inside. Because as you stand for truth, it makes people really uncomfortable as their own fleshly desires are now revealed. They're now exposed. Remember what Christ told us there in Matthew. Remember what he said there, that as people come against you, he says, do not fear them. For what was once hidden will be revealed. And that which was once covered will now be exposed. Therefore, whatever I tell you in the ear, preach and preach and preach. Because Proverbs 28:1 tells us that the wicked flee when no one even pursues. They're paranoid. They're on their heels for fear of being exposed. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. Peter in Acts 5, as he was bold there and they were threatened with more beatings as they're told to not go out and preach this gospel. And Peter was just very emphatic, very direct. He didn't take the middle approach. He wasn't trying to please the masses. He wasn't trying to be milky toast. He simply said this, "We will obey God rather than men, period." See, sometimes in order to achieve peace, we must go through deep valleys of conflict to root out the cancer. And then the peace can be established in the home, the church, or the relationship that we're dealing with. And so my encouragement for you today is bless those who persecute you. And so if you're going through this today and you're looking for peace, the solution is not to retaliate. The solution is not to get back at. The solution is to bless them, to pray for them. It doesn't mean that we buckle in the face of what's wrong. Oh no, we stand up for it. We attempt to correct it. We bring truth to the table. We cast truth onto the table, knowing that it's going to divide the room. But we do so in a loving spirit. We do so with right motives. We do so wanting the glory of God to take precedence. We got to remember, as Ryle said, oh, never let us be guilty of sacrificing any portion of truth on this altar of peace. Do we want peace? Yes. But we do not want the world's peace. We want the Prince of Peace. And if we really want the Prince of Peace, we want who he is. And he told us there in John that he came to bear witness to the truth. You cast that out on the table in America today, and you're going to have great anarchy ruling the streets. But yet it's still the truth. It's still the cure for the cancer of the heart. The truth offends. The truth hurts. But ultimately the truth of Jesus Christ is what heals. And therefore, we must be a people not in pursuit of any peace, but only in pursuit of the Prince of Peace and the truth that he stands for.
You You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.